I am a wild woman, as is my mother, hers, and hers before.
Vanessa Sweet is an animator by trade, but animation is an interdisciplinary art, so she's also a drawer, a painter, a graphic designer, and a poet.
We are the daughters of the forest and the moon, of time and the tide.
She's reading this poem to me in her home in Shishmaref as fog gathers over the icy ocean.
We are strong. We are weak. I can be weak, but I am strong.
Weakness and strength are big themes in Vanessa's current project, a 4-minute animation called Wild Woman, that's set to that very poem. She's one of two artists that we're hearing from in this episode. Both artists put a lot of themselves into their creations. So today, we'll learn about them in their own words, but we'll also learn about them through their work. And we'll understand how their art is inspired not just by their lives, but by their land, Alaska. My name is Lauren Frost, and this is Story 49. We'll come back to Vanessa a little later. First, let's meet Don Henry, a painter from Kotzebue.
My mom, she's been a dog musher her whole life, and she lived at camp her whole life, and they're still living at camp. She's 75. And so me and my brother, Carl, and my two sisters grew up at camp. And we got a camp about 30 miles up on the North Shore. It's called Rock Island. But my whole life I grew up taking care of dogs, running dogs, starting when I was about 4 or 5. Gathering food for them, fish, cooking for them, their dog food. Would make a half a drum of food for them every day. She had anywhere from 40 to sometimes 65 dogs because they had 2 or 3 teams. So that's pretty much all I knew was camp life, because we lived out there, you know, the whole year round.
As he grew up at camp, Don realized he had a knack for drawing.
I started drawing when I was 4 years old. I was watching cartoons down here. I watch a lot of Donald Duck and Disney. So every time we come down, I'd go to my uncle and aunt's place, and they would turn on the cartoons because they knew I'd, you know, I like watching cartoons. So one day at camp, when I was about 4, and I remember thinking, you know, I wanted to draw Donald Duck. So I drew him from memory, and I drew him exactly how he looks, and I still draw him the same way. And I could show you after a while.
He did show me, and he does draw Donald Duck almost perfectly.
And then Mickey Mouse, Goofy, all the characters, I'd sit there and just draw it from memory. And my mom actually has some she stashed away.
Then, as an adult, Don got into painting.
Every Sunday I got hooked on watching The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross. And then, I don't know, probably after about 6 months, I figured I'm going to give it a try and give it a shot.
He bought the Bob Ross paint set, and he started painting landscapes.
But after about 10 paintings, I think the first one I sold was to my uncle, York. He came over and he said, "Wow, that's so neat. You know, how much you want for it?" And I think I sold that one for $30.
Now, Don sells his work for hundreds or even thousands of dollars. And the price isn't the only thing that's changed over the years. When Don first started out, he was just painting what he had learned from Bob Ross.
From 1998 to 2012, I pretty much just painted landscape.
But as someone who had grown up immersed in the nature of Northwest Alaska, Don wanted to begin making his landscapes look more Alaskan.
So I started adding geese, ducks, seagulls, and houses, old shacks, old cabins.
In the past 5 years, he's also started painting people. He paints dancers, fishers, even mushers, like his mother. Don posts his work on Facebook, and fans comment that his paintings remind them of scenes from their own lives. Considering how successful Don is now, it's impressive that he's completely self-taught.
I had no formal training as far as someone saying you have to do it like this and do it like that. And so it's kind of my own. A lot of it is kind of my own style. Usually I'll paint a landscape, kind of simple scene, and then you can kind of see something in there. Like, oh, maybe I should put a dog musher. I'll sit there and look at it. And it'll just kind of turn into its own thing.
Don is a very modest person. Throughout our conversation, he maintained that what he does is something anyone would be able to do if they took the time to learn. But I think Don is especially good at teaching himself how to do things. Take, for example, what he told me about his musical education.
I taught myself guitar when I was five or six, guitar, piano, accordion, flute, whatever was around the house.
Art is something that comes naturally to Don. It's also something that he truly loves to do, which is why he's kept at it for decades.
I've never really considered myself a professional artist until I met her in 2012.
By her, he means his wife.
And it still is just kind of a hobby, something to do at night. I don't like being bored. To me, it's easy. There's no difficulty in any of it. I look at it as something fun, you know. When I'm done with the piece, after a couple hours or whatever, I'll look at it and think, wow, that's so amazing I did that. And I'll still have that feeling every time I come up with a great piece.
Coincidentally, Vanessa Sweet's story, just like Don's, begins with watching cartoons.
Well, I watched a lot of cartoons growing up, and even, like, more obscure cartoons that kids nowadays wouldn't think normal, like Felix the Cat, like old black and white cartoons. I somehow had on TV, whether it was PBS or a local channel, they still showed that. So when it came time for me to figure out what I wanted to do for college, I kind of had two sides of myself, and one was like the super science and environmental sciences, and then there was the art side of me, and that side kind of eclipsed everything. So I decided to go to school for art, but I just wasn't really sure what to do. And as I was kind of figuring out the process and looking at schools, I realized how much animation I was watching. And I have three older siblings, and you know, they can tease you a bit. And I was teased a bit about how much animation I watched, or cartoons. And I was kind of like, wait a second, you can do this. Like, this is something you could do. People make this. It's not just pulled out of thin air. And so I got really interested about it. And I found a school in Philadelphia that looked good. But it was kind of around then I saw that I could do something like that.
Vanessa went to college, then to grad school, and immersed herself in the world of animation.
In terms of the learning process, it was really fun for me, but it was also very hard, and ultimately worth it, because when I first started it, I used to say, like, oh, people say, and I say, like, oh, it's like making magic, because you'll make a drawing, and then you'll make subsequent drawings, and the thing that you've created is starting to move and come to life, and all of these things that are inside of you, like the emotions that you have while you are doing the scene or the animation, come out. And this new thing has its own kind of life. So it's really special. And yeah, I still think it's a little magical. It's kind of mesmerizing. You watch it in loops over and over again.
And do you remember, like, what the first animation you made was?
I do. It was so bad. It was really bad. I have no idea where this thing is now, but there's like this program called Flash that they renamed it recently, but I got like a free download of it, which was really exciting, and I tried to figure out how to use it all on my own. And so I made this little like cat thing, and he was just kind of trying to run around or do whatever. But at the time, I didn't understand that the more drawings you have, the smoother the motion and the more a scene. So there was this little neurotic cat, like, jumping all over the place. It was really bad, but it was also really fun, you know, to see it for the first time. Like, I'm sure I was proud of it, but it's a laughable moment now.
In the style of animation that Vanessa does, hand-drawn animation, she draws a series of images that each appear on the screen for only a fraction of a second. Each individual image is one frame of the film. If Vanessa doesn't make enough frames, and if the images don't change gradually enough, then she gets something like that crazy cat.
A virtual flipbook is actually a really great analogy, because a flipbook is definitely animation. Most of the time, I am drawing things by hand, frame by frame, so it creates a really fluid feel.
To make her animations look fluid, Vanessa has to produce a lot of drawings.
And you said you do 24 frames per second?
Yes. So 24 frames per second is a standard in America, which basically means that there are visually 24 frames that your eye is seeing a second. In animation, we do things to ease that workload. So there are things like it's called working on ones, working on twos, threes, et cetera, et cetera. So if you were working on ones, that would mean that you're drawing all 24 of those drawings, which is a lot. So oftentimes I'll work on twos, which means that you divide 24 by two, it's 12. So there's about 12 drawings a second, which is still very smooth. The eye, like, that's how all film and movies animation works, is you're actually looking at still images in sequence. It's something called persistence of vision.
So animation definitely is drawing intensive, but it's an art form that encompasses so much more.
There's this really amazing quote by this guy named Glenn Keane, who's a really famous Disney animator, or he used to work for Disney. Animation is the culmination of all of the art forms. So you have dance, music, sound theory, drawing, the sculpture, all of it comes into play when you are animating, because you have to think of all those things, but you also have to think about time. So animation is a really time-intensive media. So not only are you creating something that takes time to watch, it takes exponentially more time to create it.
To see an example of the time and creativity that goes into animation, you don't have to look further than Vanessa's current project.
So my film is called Wild Woman. It is a 3-minute, 30-second film. Basically, it's about me accepting my role as a mother. So coming into what it meant to really, truly have this person that was going to rely on me, and also a global context of what it meant to be a woman and a mother in the current state that our world is in. So I've been working on this since 2012, and I wrote a piece of slam poetry that is the voiceover for the entire film. So it leads the subject of the film, and the visuals of the film kind of either coincide or contrast what is being said. So it very much talks about global problems and tries to embrace diversity, whether that's ethnically or religious, and sort of ask why certain events are happening.
Vanessa's about 75% done with the film. She says she still wants to smooth out the animation and add more color. Once it's done, she wants to submit it to a few animation festivals. That can be expensive. So this year, Vanessa applied for an individual artist award from the Rasmussen Foundation. Then in April, she got some good news.
She told me, and I had to kind of like put down the excitement, you know, not scream in your ear on the phone, but I was really excited.
There are three big festivals that Vanessa would especially love her film to appear at. One in Canada, one in France, and one in Japan. But for her, the project isn't just about the accolades. It's about connecting with her audience.
I think that animation has the ability to connect with people because people will watch almost anything for about 10 seconds. And in that 10 seconds, if something happens to hook them, they'll watch it all the way through. That's actually like why I want in the future. Like, I have a lot of more things in terms of advocacy that I want to use animation to kind of talk about.
Animation as advocacy is something she wants to explore in her next project. Vanessa has been operating her animation studio out of Shishmaref for a little less than a year now. She's witnessed the effects of climate change firsthand.
It definitely made me be like, look, this is something that is really happening, you know, and I knew that before, but to feel it is really important. And I think that's why a lot of people can also deny it, because they don't feel or realize like the direct correlations.
She wants to create an animation that will help viewers understand how the world is changing. It's all part of a new trend in her work where she tackles issues that are more personal to her. That's a trend that started with Wild Woman. As I watched the rough cut of the film in progress, I saw beautiful watercolors of forests, animals, and water droplets morph into each other. I also saw intimate portraits of mothers and children. And over it all, Vanessa's own voice, reading a poem about her own experience with motherhood, as well as more global issues. I asked her about her personal connection to the piece.
And it sounds like the project that you're working on is something that you're really, like, personally and emotionally connected to. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, this is the most personal thing I've ever done. I like to joke that it was a really long pregnancy because I kind of like I had my child and then I also like I've been like giving birth to this thing, and it's been intense. There's been a lot of ups and downs, and I've never done anything this personal. All of my films have been very much like projecting a character and a story and letting it be somebody else or something else, even though a part of me would be in it. So this was, I wouldn't say it was like group therapy, but it was kind of like getting something out and really trusting my voice to say what it needed to say and what I believed, instead of kind of hiding behind a projection of it. Unfortunately, you know, but as is life, I had two deaths in my family really abruptly in the beginning of 2012, end of 2011, that shook me a lot deeper than I really like let myself realize while I was like, I didn't realize it. It was just something that was happening to me, to my attitude, you know. And I kind of got into a dark place. And then in April of 2012, I became pregnant. So everything about my fears, I just couldn't handle it. So in 2013, after I had my daughter in January, I started writing poetry again. And when I was younger, I wrote a lot of poetry. And so I connected with that side of myself and let really like my true feelings out. And again, that slam poetry vibe of like honesty and that guttural instinct of who you are and what you are really came out. And so I edited the poem a few times, but really not much. And then I started working from that poem, and it was a much healthier and scarier in some ways way of working, because I had never, like I said before, I just didn't trust myself to say what I needed to say. And so getting to the point where I could trust what I had to say and then interpreting that visually. So in the film, there are parts that mirror exactly what is being said and other parts that work in contrast, but they always come back to really amplifying the poem. I am a wild woman, as is my mother, hers, and hers before. We are the daughters of the forest and the moon, of time and the tide. We are strong. We are weak. I can be weak, but I am strong. Tiger claws have raked my belly right above where a 6-inch scar rests, boasting my survival from 49 hours of labor. I would have died in the wild, but I am no less a wild woman. The daughter I love, who most nights is more wolf cub, nurses, bites her fangs and claws in deep, then settles and softly sleeps. Mother's milk, a river flowing. I thought I was carrying 9 months worth of worry and fear, but motherhood has shown me that fear lasts for years, a lifetime, in fact. So too shall my joy and my pride. She is my wild woman. We are the daughters of the forest and the moon, of time and the tide. Harmonious chaos, young and old, we are one cycle of strength. I am deer and wolf both, fleeing and chasing, sustaining, destroying, running down the seed of self-doubt that eats endlessly at my subconscious, planting darkness, hosting fear. All of my fears may chase me down and swallow me up, grind my bones into fodder, but I will rise out of the ashes and conquer terror. We are the daughters of the forest and the moon, of time and the tide. We are strong. We are weak. If you can't say anything nice, say nothing at all. A mantra repeated until all but forced smiles are wiped away, our slates wiped clean. But I am not a slate. I am a human being. Yes, I am a rate. My womb is my own. 5,000 generations of women have brought us all to this point in time. Some of them kept us. Some did not. So a hill should not hold a religion as the impetus for its crusades. Religion is pure. It is the people who corrupt, the same people for whom we fight for, we fight over, we fight with. Your bread is different than my bread, so we cannot break bread? Blasphemers, infidels, heretics, and fanatics, why do we all strangle and struggle to prove we are better than one another? Are we not human? Are we not the sons and daughters of the forest and the moon, of the cloud and the cross, of time and the tides? Are we not human? Are we not all wild women?
Thank you so much to all who made this episode possible. Special thanks to Don Henry and Vanessa Sweet. Music in this episode was by Mystery Mammal and Kevin McLeod. If you or someone you know has a story to share, contact KNOM at 443-5221 or by email at story49@knom.org. Story 49, sharing your story, your voice, your Alaska.